Hey everybody, it's Danny. I want to say thank you for tuning in to the Heartway podcast, and I want to give a special thanks to those of you who are tuning in from really all over the world. We're so grateful that you are a part of our community and that you listen in on an ongoing basis. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, I want to ask you to share this with a friend. You never know the impact that one of these messages can have in another person's life. And if you yourself have been impacted and you'd like to continue to partner with us to keep this work going, check us out at heartwaychurch.com/give. Every dollar that you give goes a really long way towards helping us do what it is that we do. Well, we love you. Really hope you enjoy the podcast.
Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday. Nice to see all these beautiful faces. Happy Thanksgiving. I hope we all ate well. I know I did. I needed to have a looser sweater this time. But we from Heartway are just so grateful for all of you that continue to come and the new people that are joining the community. It's just so beautiful to see us growing and spreading love, because truly that's what God is and that's our mission. So for me and from Heartway, we're very thankful for all of you. And today we're gonna get started with a centering prayer. So it's not too hard. If you know how to close your eyes, that's all you have to do. We slowly are gonna close our eyes. I want you to allow the palms of your hands to either go up or down. And then gently closing the eyes, I want you to take a nice deep breath. Slowly beginning to fill up your belly with the breath, allowing the breath to rise up, shoulders begin to go back, and then we slowly exhale, release. Slowly again, fill up the belly with your breath, allow that breath to rise up, shoulders slowly going back, and then gently exhale, release. My friends, take a moment now to let go, to release all of the burdens that are weighing heavy on your heart. Let go of anything that does not serve you, and instead, open your heart up, welcoming God's love. As you inhale, I want you to imagine yourself creating this space, opening up, allowing God to enter. And as you exhale, you release all of the stress, all of the pain, all of the burdens that you're holding on to. And we release them to God, allowing yourself to feel light, no longer having the pressure of the world on you. You realize now that you are not alone, that God is walking with you all the time. That throughout this journey, through the ups and the downs, we are not living this life alone. That through this life, there is purpose. And no matter where you are on your journey, know that it is exactly where you should be. If we open ourselves up to God and to His love, we can start to see the world through His eyes. We can start to understand why certain things happen. We can start to let go, stop questioning why things are happening. We allow ourselves to settle down on the peace that God gives us. We can allow ourselves a little grace, forgiving ourselves for the things that we do, for the thoughts that we may have. We know that we are only doing our best. And with God's grace and His love, He always welcomes us to join Him. He never separates us from Him. So allow yourself now to feel united, to feel close to God and His love, by also being close to one another. Acknowledging that none of us are separate from each other, that the energy that we share and the energy that we put out into this world is for the good. We do it for God and His love. when we can see one another in each other as a mirror, we start to see God everywhere that we go. Allow yourself to release the walls that you have up. Release the blockages that you have. Release the tightness that you may have in your heart or in your throat. Allow yourself to not only speak love, but to feel love. Allow love to be your language. Allow it to be your currency as you move throughout this world. Know first that you are filled with love, for you were created by love. You were created in God's image. Know that you are full and whole, that you have so much purpose in this world. And as you allow yourself to feel this and know this, you can now go out into the world and spread the same love to anyone and everyone that you see. Slowly take another deep breath. I want you to really watch the breath as it rises. Then slowly exhale, allow yourself to surrender just a little bit more. Take a moment now to feel the peace that is settling on you, to feel the happiness that you have within yourself. Let's take a moment to honor ourselves. Be thankful for who you are and all that you do. Not only the best parts of yourself, honor every aspect of yourself. Honor yourself fully, for when you do this, you honor God. And as we honor ourselves, we take the time to honor each other for the energy that we share, for the love that we share, and for the God that we share. My friends, take one more breath. Slowly, really allow the breath to come up. When you reach the top, I want you to hold your breath. When you're ready to surrender, when you're ready to let it all go, exhale, release. My friends, gently blink open the eyes. May peace and grace always settle on you. So much love to you all, and thank you for coming today.
Good morning, Heartway and friends. I'm Dr. Miranda Howard. Today I'm here to share a deeper understanding of the gift and power of relationship. In fact, through today's message, I'd like us to transcend the conventional ways we tend to think about relationships, but instead focus on how our relationships reflect the essence of what makes our lives meaningful, especially when we're struggling to rise above challenges that reach us and rock us in the core of our being. Why is it so important to talk about relationships, especially now during this period of COVID and personal as well as social reidentification? Because this is our opportunity to choose presence and connection over controlled and convenient ideas about our world and our circumstances. What if this period of seemingly unsettling change is actually our opportunity to uncover what truly grounds us and allows us to relationally choose insight and compassion for ourselves and others rather to default to an inconvenient truth that only seeks to give us a false sense of control rather than to create meaningful, lasting, and life-giving relationships. Many of you know that I work in the mental health field, and at the start of my career, I was trained in clinical mental health and all things disorders and diagnoses. But during my doctoral training, I was immersed into more enlightened understanding of all things relational, as well as the systemic influences that affect the way we live. And here's the revelation that rocked my world, that changed my life, and that I hope will change yours. That revelation is that everything is relational. Yes, everything in our lives is relational. If you're questioning this truth, that everything is relational, let's look at the Word of God. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." That means that Jesus' relationship with the Father's creation, which of course is us, is the reason he came. Another scripture says, "In him I live, I move, and I have my being," which suggests that our entire lives are tied up in our relationship with him. I could give you endless examples, biblical and otherwise, all with the same conclusion, that God intentionally introduced us to relationship in him as a means for us to understand who we are, and more importantly, who we are in him, no matter the circumstances or the challenges. Being in true, authentic relationship is what helps us to establish and walk in love towards ourselves and towards others. Relationship is actually the godly expression of connection. I'm sure that in 2020, we can all attest to the fact that our connections have been severely tested. The connection with ourselves, with others, and with the world. As a therapist, I hear many of my clients describe their loss of connection, a loss of identity reflecting a loss of connection with self, a loss of emotion or numbed emotion that has isolated them, reflecting a loss of connection with feelings that leads to a loss of connection with others. Then there's the lack of motivation to connect to people or things, which reflects a loss of connection with that life-giving energy within us that moves us to make a difference in the world. Feelings of loneliness and despair, reflecting a loss of connection with joy, with happiness, and with peace. Moreover, many of us are understandably distracted right now as we wrestle with our relationship to recent events that have changed the ways in which we process and understand our daily lives. In fact, the way in which we all just recently celebrated Thanksgiving is probably still in the back of our minds. We were all made to celebrate in a very new way, with less friends, less family around than we may have been accustomed to. We may also be experiencing the loss of what we consider to be normal, essentially the loss of our comfort zones that have historically provided us with the unfortunate opportunity to be on autopilot rather than present, that have permitted us to stray from purpose and to settle for convenience, that have replaced the exhilaration of hope with the expectation of unearned entitlement. And it is in these somewhat seemingly hopeless, inauthentic moments that we may have lost our connection to our sense of relationship with all the things that matter. You know, I have many relationships that I cherish, my family, my faith, my work, to name a few, but one of the most important relationships that I cherish is the Word of God and my love for the Word of God, as it is such an integral and guiding force in my life. I'd like to share one of my favorite scriptures. It's from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 5, and it reads, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." In this scripture, God was speaking to the prophet Jeremiah, who was sometimes known as the weeping prophet because of the judgment that he had to proclaim to the people of Judah, as well as his own personal struggles. Jeremiah, in spite of his sadness and personal struggles, such as we all face in our lives, we know that it's important to note that he was called by God into position as a prophet, and perhaps more importantly, into relationship, even before he was formed in his mother's womb. Just take a moment and imagine what that scripture is saying to us. Have you ever heard your parents say, or relatives, something like, "I wasn't always your mom and dad. I was once a big football star, maybe just a very carefree person before you were even a thought." Imagine that before your mother and father intimately knew each other, before they planned or maybe hadn't exactly planned you, that God had already known everything about you, because his knowledge of you and love for you is timeless. So God is saying to Jeremiah, but more importantly saying to us, that before we were born, before we knew our lives as we know them now, with all their complexity and sometimes struggles, that our identity and our relationship with him were already established. We were already in relationship. This scripture from Jeremiah resonates so very deeply within me, to the point that I need to share a personal story. It confirms for me what I have felt all my life, which is that I have always known God, that it is a knowing that I was birthed into relationship without having a true awareness of when it exactly came into existence. As a child, I did not fully understand the magnitude of the knowing I felt, because for me, it simply felt like the fullness and beauty of life that I believed, naively so, everyone must feel. As I grew up in a world that began to discover was not as tolerant of difference and not as welcoming of goodness, but instead was more receptive to compromising good for one's pleasure. I began to question myself and the goodness I felt within me, not because I disbelieved the goodness or felt it foreign, but because people around me viewed my love for goodness as naive, and as a result, they sometimes worked to dismantle the vulnerability and authenticity that accompanied that goodness. They seemed to want me to believe that I was simply a being separate from my relationship with God. Inevitably, I had the disturbing, erroneous assumption that this unique relationship that I had been gifted with had set me apart, but not in a good way. the acknowledgement of my unique relationship led me to a type of silent suffering. I was reminded that I was set apart and that being set apart was not only a lonely space to be in, but that it could also make me a target for those who wished to believe that I was deserving of their insensitivity and sometimes cruelty. Because I held on to the relationship within which God had placed me. It was only around the age of 18 or 19 that I encountered the truth and gift of my uniqueness in a way that changed my world. I was sitting at the back of the large church that my family and I had attended for years. My uncle, the presiding bishop, happened to be away that day and had assigned his duties to our associate pastor. During the altar call, the associate pastor actually looked my way and began pointing at me. I quizzically looked around me to see who he might be addressing, as I believed it could not possibly be me. After all, I was the niece of the bishop, who had been an active member of the church and had clearly accepted Christ as my savior as a very young child, and that description of myself clearly made me exempt from the attention that was all of a sudden being thrust upon me. I continued to look around instead of the pastor's gaze because, of course, he must have made a mistake. But he just kept pointing at me and energetically beckoning me to the altar. So I rose in obedience, and I tried to demonstrate my confusion with a nervous smile to those around me. I reached the altar. I stood still, not knowing what to expect. The pastor gently looked at me and smiled and lovingly peered into my eyes as he quoted the scripture that will be with me for the rest of my life from Exodus 3 and 5, which says, "Take off your shoes from off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." It was in that moment that I realized the gift of relationship and the uniqueness, the knowing deep within me was not grounded in the ups and downs of my external world, of what I could see or what others thought about me, but rather in the relationship that I was birthed into even before I rested in my mother's womb. That it wasn't about my preoccupation with my feelings, my position, thoughts, and actions, but rather God was whispering to me in his still small voice to take off that which was getting in the way of my ability to walk in that which he had already provided for me. You see, the relationship between God and every person that privileges and honors relationship is rooted, defined, and elevated through the love of God and leads us to a greater relationship with ourselves and others. What if you are more than just self? What if you are a relational self that was birthed into relationship, as I described earlier in the passage from Jeremiah? What would that mean? Well, first of all, it means that you are never alone, that God is always with you in his relationship with us. He reminds us in Hebrews 3 and 5 that he will never leave us or forsake us. Secondly, I'd like you to consider that as relational beings, we have relational identities. And when we are seeking recognition, we are actually seeking vulnerability. Without vulnerability, there's no humanity and no freedom. As relational beings, we must look to encourage ourselves to seek understanding so that we can navigate through our lives rather than just seek to control our circumstances. As a relational being, the goal is to balance control, understanding, and the all-important recognition of the gift and power of relationship. Let's consider our lives before COVID for just a moment. Many times many of us found ourselves rushing through a life that was plagued with distractions that bypassed an authentic identity, presence, and relationship with God. We were always rushing through the moments of our lives because we lived on our own time clock, always having to be somewhere else other than where we were, other than where God had directed us to be. We were preoccupied with the past, absent from the present, missing from the moment. Standing on the outside of the will of God, outside of true relationship, even before COVID arrived. In this present time, many of us have been distracted by experiences of grief and loss. Perhaps the loss of a loved one, loss of a job or business or income, all of which significantly impact our daily functioning. But I would suggest to you that a real grief and sense of loss doesn't just arise from the actual event around which our loss is focused, but rather our relationship to the person or event which was lost. Have you noticed that grief always comes to educate us? It brings the unpredictability of an encounter with the complexity of our innermost feelings, conscious and unconscious. It promises a level of complexity in our responses to what may feel like grief's inconvenient purpose. Because we are relational beings who, in the age of digital relationships like social media or the internet or Zoom, we've substituted authentic relationships for those which can simply be activated by the touch of a button. No emotional connection or heartfelt connection required. We touch that button and we're transformed into what appears to be a rational world that we can control rather than a world of courageous vulnerability and presence. Is it any wonder that the struggles that many of us are facing are centered in figuring out how to authentically reconnect in our relationship with God, ourselves, and others. However, brothers and sisters, there is good news. And the good news is that COVID and the societal issues surrounding us have actually catapulted us into a space of opportunity, into a kind of grace. I'm sure you're dealing with challenges in your lives. I'm sure that nothing may feel opportune or graceful in this moment. But the opportunity and grace that I speak of is actually the invitation to re-engage with the present moment and choose authentic relationship with God, yourself, and with others. If you're feeling the heaviness of loss, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Through relationship, God desires to comfort you. Isaiah 61 and 3 says, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we would be as trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." To those of you who are mourning, even if you've not fully acknowledged the grief that you may be experiencing, there is rest and there are blessings available to you right now. In the verses following Isaiah 61 and 3, verses 4 and 7 promise hope, repair, rebuilding, new relationships, new positions, and even greater promises. Verse 7 says, instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, they'll instead rejoice in their inheritance and inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. God has promised us that in the areas of our relationship that matter the most to us, that he not only has the answer, but exceedingly abundant provision. So how do we now re-engage? First of all, remember that in our relationship with God, we have unchangeable promises that lead us into a deeper relationship with him. Remember that the Word of God brings us closer to vulnerability and the freedom to grow. Begin to feed your body, mind, soul, and spirit through self-care. Remember that the person that you are caring for is you and that you're important to God. Take walks in the park on a regular basis. Exercise safely. Engage in daily prayer and meditation. Discover new things. Learn something new every week. Forgive the past and embrace the promise of a better future. If you need support to do any of the things that I've named, then enter into a new relationship with yourself in a way that allows you to be courageously vulnerable. Be vulnerable enough to ask for help or to give support. Seek counseling. Here at Heartway, the ministry strives to minister to the heart of every person. So there are people here who love you and want to help. Or you can reach out to trusted friends or family and create stronger connections. But most of all, remember that you are never alone, that you are always in relationship. And as Romans 8 says, there is no trouble, no hardship, nor present or future occurrence that has the power to separate us from the love of God. It emphatically states that we are more than conquerors in our relationship in Christ. In conclusion, I leave you with this final exhortation from Galatians 5 and 1 that says, stand fast in the liberty that Christ has made you free. I invite you to be free in the gift and power of relationship. Let us pray. Father, in your name, we're so grateful to you for your eternal love and the relationship that you have provided for us. Open our hearts, Lord, to receive now that which you have established and provided so that we can walk boldly and know, Father, that we are more than conquerors in thee. We bless you, we praise you, we honor and adore you. It is in your mighty name that we pray. Amen.